And we're recording. So, hey, folks, thanks for tuning in again to the BAMF podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty. With me tonight, I have Enrique Bertrand, author of RPG for Kids. How you doing, Enrique?
How's it going, Mike?
All right. Hey, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. And we also have Daniel Gallant, frequent co-host. Daniel, good to have you.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
And tonight, we're talking about role-playing with your kids.
Well, you know, you dress them up and you put them on a big game board. And then you push up a stick. Oh, wait, though, that's not what we're talking about? Oh, okay.
I'm going to have to call CPS, Daniel. What do you do with your kids over there?
Wrong game, dude.
Yeah, and I've got you guys here because I just have dogs. And she's kind of a power gamer. She's all about min-maxing. She's more of a hero system dog, and I just can't roll like that. So
there's people that like to role play with their dogs, too. There's something out there for everybody.
I didn't mean to offend anybody. Please forgive me if I did. A few podcasts.
My fish just can't roll dice.
Your fish is more of an amber kind of player.
Yeah, they float.
Like the dice systems. Well, hey, let's start off. How old are you guys' kids?
My daughter will be 7, mm-hmm. and my son is about to turn 4.
Okay. Daniel, how about you?
My kids are a little more separate. My daughter is 3, and my son is 12.
Oh, okay, that's kind of more of a span, yeah.
Actually, my son actually plays in my D&D game. Well, virtually any game that I run here, he's played in it. So.
Really? Okay. Well, he's 12. I can see that. Well, I guess that begs the question for both of you guys. Enrique, maybe you want to go first. When did you guys start playing with your kids, and you know, what kind of challenges and you know, insights did they give you into it?
I started with my daughter when she. I only play with my daughter. My son's still a little too young for it. I started with my daughter when she was about 4, almost 5 years old. She got really interested in D&D because she would see my friends come over and she'd see the dice and she'd see the minis and that sort of stuff and the whole setup, and she really became very curious about it. And I sort of started pretending to play with her. I would roll dice and kind of move the minis around and play bad guy and good guy, and then she really got into it. And I went ahead and created RPG Kids as a way to make it seem like she was playing D&D when she was really doing something a lot simpler. But it worked out. It was the kind of game that she grasped right away, and I sort of developed it around what she could handle at the time as far as an RPG goes. And we took it from there.
And Daniel, how about you? When did you and your son start playing?
It was my son who started playing with him first. He actually started not in RPGs, but in board games. And believe it or not, the first board game that he played was Settlers of Catan.
Holy shit.
We were at a game convention. My wife took him around, right? And she stopped at a Settlers of Catan game, and he was she would tell him, well, you can do one of these things. You know, you can buy it. You can buy a road or buy a village, or you can buy a card. And he ended up beating 2 other adults.
Wow!
So,
how old was he?
He was 5 at the time, and that kid loves his games. Even now, I mean, like when he was 9 or 10, he was starting to do game maker games. You know, designing video games. He jumps into D&D and, like, you know, he knows what he's doing. He knows what to play. You know, there's usually not much. I don't have to prompt him very much when it's his turn. Other than the usual, you know, 12-year-old kid isn't going to pay total attention. But he's definitely that. My daughter, who's 3, she's currently. She loves Candyland. She's right into that. And I said, Daddy, can we play Candyland? Okay, sweetie. And off we go. We play Candyland. But it's, you know, like in our household, we've always had games. We've always played games. Me and my wife played games forever. But as far as role-playing games, Alexander, that's my son, he started probably when he was about 8. we started including him in our D&D games. And, I mean, like, we'd actually have a special D&D game just for, you know, not necessarily just for him, but when he was playing, it was one campaign. And then there'd be another campaign with the adults. But it was, you know, and this was back in the third edition days. So, you know, he was, you know, like, fourth edition hadn't come out yet. But anyway, yeah, so it's, he's been playing for a long time. I've been, you know, my kids have had games presented to them since an early age.
Oh, cool. I just feel bad that your kid has driven two adults away from Settlers of Catan, because after a five-year-old beats you, I don't know how you go back to it. I'm just saying.
Well, hey, dude, you know what? Let him man up. Like, you're beat by a kid. He's smarter than you. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, I guess the enthusiasm kids have for games kind of underscores a point that Enrique's game made, you know, in a grand fashion, which is that, you know, there's this whole underserved niche of games for kids. And RPG Kids was a huge hit. Congratulations, Enrique. And your new product, your adventure pack, has been sitting on the top five of RPG Now for a couple weeks now.
You know, I'm really surprised that. Well, I'm really surprised at one, that it's been the hit that it's been. I never really expected it to be as popular as it became. But two, I'm really surprised that the professional game industry isn't really taking a notice of this and saying, wait a minute, we're really underserving a market here that clearly needs to be taken care of. And that's the parents and kids market for RPGs. I'm not sure what's going on there and why they're sort of letting a guy with a computer and a PDF compiler take that market.
I agree. It's any of the four kids products. Actually, the only four kids role playing product that I've seen that seemed to be marketed for younger children was a Pokemon RPG. I regret to this day not picking up a copy. Just at the time, my son wasn't into Pokemon, and you know, so I wasn't really thinking about it this way.
But you know, there's a lot of games out there, though. I mean, if you look for them, they exist. I'm not gonna pretend that RPG Kids is the only game that's done this. There's games out there by indie publishers, but you gotta go out and you gotta try to find them, and you gotta hear about them, and you gotta pick them up, and they're not being put out there by the Wizards of the Coast of the world, or the Paizos of the world that should be doing this type of stuff for their industry to one day to survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you make a great point. I mean, a lot of gaming sessions I've been to in real life in the last 10, 15 years, I mean, they're also babysitting sessions because people's kids are always there. Because you guys are in your 30s and 40s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's got kids.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, and so usually you're either playing with the kids or you're keeping the kids distracted while you're playing. It just it seems like a natural evolution to include them at the game table if you can.
I said it the other day, and I keep harping on this, and I sound like a broken record, but the industry is doing a great job at catering to their aging audience and a terrible job at taking care of the audience that should be coming up in a few years.
Exactly.
They don't care. I don't know. It's weird.
Well, actually, what I kind of found amusing, I liked it on probably the listeners are aware of this particular show, My Little Pony. I watched it. I enjoyed the show. And I found, actually, a My Little Pony role-playing game called The Savage World of My Little Pony, which is, you know, based off of Savage World system. And I'll be the first to admit I'm not an expert on the Savage World system. But I'm looking at it, and it'd probably be great for adults who want to play, you know, in that universe. But if you know, you take something like Savage World to an 8-year-old little girl, unless you're an incredible presenter, you're going to drive her away from it. But you're going to drive her away from even the idea of a role playing game. You know, if you're dumping this huge, pardon the phrase, the blob of information, and you're just you know, I mean, the kid's just not going to be able to look at that and understand.
Well, that happens to plenty of adults. So yeah.
I mean,
I can remember trying. I had some aerospace engineers. I was getting into Mutants and Masterminds a couple years ago, and trying to explain, you know, the system to them was getting us nowhere. So I was like, you know what? Here's some pre-made characters. Let's roll some dice and see what happens. Because you know,
that happened to me. I couldn't play Mutants and Masterminds. I tried making a character. I thought I was taking a calculus course. I closed the book and walked away.
It happens to a lot of people. It's as you point out, it's one of the problems with the industry. It's you know,
over complicated stuff that there's no way a kid would ever pick up.
Yeah, yeah, and sometimes you get some snotty remarks on forums about, well, it's just fourth grade math. I mean, people are trying to get playing these games. In these cases, they were aerospace engineers at Raytheon. I mean, these people are doing calculus professionally.
So they're not stupid people.
No, it's just you put barriers. Go ahead. Sorry.
No.
I was just saying you put barriers between, you know, your players and the fun stuff, and you're catering to the audience who likes the heavy crunch. And it's a small pool, and it's getting smaller.
One of the points I bring up is, where's the marketing? I'm going to pick on D&D again because they're the big guys, but where's the marketing? Where are the commercials for D&D? Hasbro owns a kids cartoon network on cable called The Hub. It's a joint venture between Hasbro and Discovery Channel. Where are the commercials? Where's the Saturday morning D&D cartoon? Why aren't they putting that on there? Where's the advertising? I don't see anything. I don't see any support.
I don't remember the last. I remember a few years ago. Didn't they have a few? No, when fourth edition came out, they had some advertising in magazines, I think, and it was sort of, you know, ironic hipster sort of advertising. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah, but that's aimed at you and me. That's aimed at a bunch of 30-year-olds.
Yeah, well, but they should be trying to get, like, the 12-year-olds.
I picked up Madness at Gardmore Abbey, the new super adventure for 4E that they released. And every single, it's got four books. Every single book says ages 12 and up, ages 12 and up, ages 12 and up. How are 12-year-olds supposed to find out about that?
Yeah, unless your dad's getting into it, there's no
unless
way.
Unless your dad is just pushing it on you.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'll be honest, as the father of a 12-year-old, I would be hesitant to – I mean, I don't think that – not to say that they wouldn't be able to run it, but it's so big, so complex. There's so much stuff to, you know, to be able to run a game like that. Your average 12-year-old kid just won't have the attention span to do it. In our day, when we were 12 years old, it was a little different. We didn't have much of a choice. It was that or, you know, play with rocks.
We didn't have rocks in Indiana. We had corn. But, yeah, your point's well taken. Although I have a pretty horrible memory of my dad wanting to play Starfleet Battles when I was 10.
May God have mercy on your soul. I love that game, but may God have mercy on your soul.
That was a very tedious 2 hours, and we never played it again. So,
Federation Commander is better, but not much.
That was years away. I mean, this was 1982. So, yeah, back in the day. Which is one of the things I love about RPG Kids, is that it's, you know, you have less than 10 pages of rules. And it almost reminded me of my first experience with D&D, and probably why I'm still gaming today, was you can get it pretty quickly. You know, within a couple of minutes, I'm reading it, and I'm thinking, I got some friends with kids, this would be fun to play. You know, it's basic concepts, it's basic math, it's, you know, you can... You know, the whole book is about 26 pages. I think more than half of that's going to be your maps, your counters, and your adventure. It just, you know, there's a very low learning curve to get into.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very simple game of post-rules, really. There's not a whole lot to it. I mean, I made it simple on purpose because my kid really couldn't... My kid wasn't counting at the time past 13 or 14. So I said, well, you know, I'll use a 12-sided. It's underused anyway. It's collecting dust in my dice bag, so...
Yeah, it's just barbarian hit dice, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll use my D12 because she couldn't really count past, you know, whatever, 15 or so. And I invented some quick, you know, they're not groundbreaking rules in any sense of the word, but they're simple enough for a kid to pick up pretty quick and make sort of a little framework around it and leave the rest to her imagination where it should be.
Hey, can I ask you, let me ask you a little geeky question here. Please forgive me. I was reading up on your healer, and the healer power, where you attack all close squares, and right. you either heal allies or damage enemies. That reminded me of the healing surge that clerics have in Pathfinder.
I don't play Pathfinder.
Okay, so you guys, it was a parallel development. Okay.
I've never even read the Pathfinder rulebook, to be honest with you. So if it looks like I copied Pathfinder, I apologize for that, but I don't own the Pathfinder rulebook.
It's open content. There's just not really copying. It's out there to be used. I mean, so
well,
I was just thinking maybe it was inspiration. So all right,
nah, it was more of a I need a healer. He needs to be different than just the other guys. So maybe he could do something different. Maybe he could do something cool, like heal and burst. If anything, I took the burst stuff from 4E when it came to him.
Oh, that's cool. I haven't touched 4E at all, so I wouldn't have seen it from there. So I haven't actually played D&D in, I think, 10 years at this point.
Well, yeah, I haven't. I played Pathfinder once at Gen Con a few years ago. I'm not a big 3rd edition fan, to be honest with you. I kind of skipped over 3rd edition.
I think being some masterminds is my biggest experience with 3rd edition. But yeah, I remember that there was a wave of enthusiasm in the early D20 days. And actually, that was my first experience gaming with a kid. My buddies, well, we weren't really gaming. Dave had his little girl there. She was under 2. She was the party kobold. So it was a different thing. It was more comic relief. But all right, well, cool. Well, hey, let's talk about the adventure pack you just released, if that's okay.
The adventure pack, the only reason the only reason I created the adventure pack is because people were asking me for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried telling people, listen, it's very simple to create these type of adventures. Watch Dora. Dora has to go through 3 challenges, and then she gets to the end of the journey. So it's kind of set up like that. You go through 3 little encounters, and then you fight the bad guy at the end. But
Enrique, you're killing me because that's how I design my adventures. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's an old trick, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but people really wanted to see more RPG Kid stuff. I got emails about it, and Daniel Perez, High Moon Games, the guy that's my friend, he publishes. He's the one that put it out there on RPG Now, and he sells it through his High Moon Games account. Mm-hmm. He would forward me all these emails that he was getting. When's the adventure pack coming? Are we ever going to get any more adventures? Are we ever going to... So I said, you know what? Okay, fine. I'll do it. And I created the adventures with my daughter. Like, mm-hmm. She gave me the plot ideas, and then I sort of wrote them and created all the artwork for it and whatnot. So it was really a joint effort between her and I.
Well, that's really cool. That's really cool. That's kind of
I'm not going to take the credit for Trixie the Unicorn the pirates and all that. So that was all really her and I. And obviously, yeah. She didn't write them or draw any of the stuff. I did that stuff, but the plots were mostly her.
Yeah, cool. Now, I'd imagine you could probably put out one of these every couple of months for as long as you wanted to. It seems like you've really got a vein here of interest. People aren't something serving anywhere else right now. Have you thought about branching other genres, or are you really sticking with fantasy for now?
I've thought about putting up a space opera. Just I don't want to say Star Wars.
Yeah, I understand.
A space opera version of it for free up on the blog. Just kind of like reskin it into Star Wars.
Yeah, I guess you could do that.
And put it up for free. Yeah, you could do it. It's probably very easy to do. I may do that in the future if I have some time. I'm not going to sell that, obviously. I'm not interested in selling. I'll just put it up for free and give it away. There is something I have brewing in my head for my kid now that she's older, where I want to tune up the complexity a little bit. But I'm not. It won't be fantasy, though. It'll be more. She's getting into superheroes. So that's kind of where I'll probably take it next if I do anything.
You know, I'm really glad you mentioned that, because I was talking to Daniel before the podcast, and I was saying, you know, I would love to see a superheroes version of RPG Kids.
Well, if I do it, it won't be using the RPG Kids rules. I've come up with something a little different.
Okay, sounds like it's still in development.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't want to bug you too much about details, but any kind of idea when we might see development blogs or something like that about?
I not really.
Still percolating. All right.
Yeah, cool. I'm still working out some stuff in my head about how complex I want to make it. And it's got an interesting little gimmick behind it that I don't want to give away.
Okay, because I was about to start asking you questions like how you, if you're going with archetypes, you're going with a point by power system, and all right, that's cool. If
we, it wouldn't even be that complex.
Hey, folks, this is Mike Lafferty. We're going to have to wrap up the podcast a little early because we had some someone crossed the streams. The flux capacitor wasn't fluxing. The dilithium decrystallized. Ran into some unfortunate technical issues, so we're going to have to wrap things up a little prematurely. I'd like to extend heartfelt and gracious thanks to Enrique Bertrand and Daniel Gallant for joining me this evening. They're both wonderful men, handsome, fine featured fellows with the strength of two normal men, and I understand fine singing voices, so if you're looking for anyone to entertain you at your upcoming wedding or bar mitzvah, either Enrique or Daniel will be a fine choice. And folks, thanks for tuning into the Banff podcast. Role play with your kids. Because, you know, they aren't old enough really to rules lawyer, so there's a lot of advantages. And thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on the Banff podcast. Bye.